reach that high note.
It's a shame because I was right up there. Yeah, right. Turn to the 8th chapter of Revelation. Been a couple of months since we've been in Revelation. And I want us to read the eighth chapter. We finished the 7th chapter of the last Sunday that I taught it. And so I want to start there. Why don't we stand and let's read the 8th chapter, responsive reading, I the first, and you the second, and so on. Chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour.
And I saw the 7 angels who stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets.
And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne.
And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands.
And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
And the 7 angels which had 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up.
And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood.
And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed.
And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters.
And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was Satan, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the 3 angels which are yet to sound." Let's pray. Lord, bless all the teaching that goes on today. We pray, Lord, you'd touch any heart and life and move in upon us. We want your input into our life. We want you to correct us and change us and draw us closer to you. Give me a freedom and ease to speak and teach that only you can give. Touch hearts. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated. We finished chapter 7, but you need to continue to keep in mind as you look at the book of Revelation that you are looking or reading a description of a vision. This is a description of a vision. You ever tried to describe something that you've seen? Sometimes it's quite difficult. And that's what John's problem is. He's supposed to write to these 7 churches what he had seen and what was there true and then what was going to be hereafter. Well, they were already in the hereafter right here. And this is the future. Now, another thing, if you'll go to the book of Jude, just a little bit to the left of Revelation, and look at verse 14. And Enoch also. Now, I don't know anywhere in the Bible where this prophecy is, but Jude quotes it here. And Enoch also The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s, that's plural, 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time. What we're seeing here is the judgment that's coming on the earth. That's what the book of Revelation is. It is a process judgment of the earth. Many weird places back in the Bible we have it. It's sometimes called the day of Jacob's trouble, and it's called the greatest time of suffering in the history of the world. Never been anything like it before. Won't be anything like it after it. Now you think about that. Think of all the different things. You can think of the flood. I don't know how many people died in the flood. And little babies died and grandparents died and businessmen died. What we'd call moral people died and what we call sinners died. They all died but eight that were in the ark. And the ark, of course, is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the type of the ark for us. We need to be in the ark, in Christ. Then we're going to float over the judgment of God that's coming down. But what we're looking here now is this description of John of what he saw. And so several things you need to think about. Think about you are reading a man telling you what he saw. Now, I don't know if you know if that's difficult or not, but it's difficult. And he does a great job of it. Of course, it's the Word of God, and he had help, whatever. But at any rate, we're talking about the judgment, the greatest day of judgment that the earth was ever to see. Now, I've seen a whole lot of bad things in my life, haven't you? It even touches my heart when you got a little puppy shivering on there and they're trying to get you to give money. It touches me. And I feel for them. I've got a heat lamp on the back porch for my dog. See, I'm not that cruel and cold. I don't let him in the bed with me, but in fact, I don't let him in the house. He'd tear it to pieces. He's a good dog. So we got the book of Revelation, and we're looking at what John saw, and he's supposed to give this report to us. And all of the book of Revelation is about the last part of the earth as we know it. It's about the judgment that God's going to bring that he's been prophesying over and over again for years. And so he's telling us what he sees. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, I missed it. Go to Daniel 7, I'm sorry. Daniel 7, 9. Now, here's the book of Daniel, written 500 to 700 years before Christ. And look what it says. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. That sound anything like the first chapter of Revelation? Sounds a little bit like it. His throne was a fiery flame. His wheels were as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and come forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night vision, behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before them. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now there's Daniel talking about the millennial reign of Christ and the judgment of the end of the world right back there. So, taking a look at something like that, why, we know what we're looking at here. What you're looking at, the book of Revelation, it has not passed. Has not. It's still in the future. We're in the midst of it. I believe we're personally in the seventh church, the church of Laodicea. Rich and increased with goods, has no need of anything, thinks they're rich and powerful, and God says you're poor, miserable, naked. What a tragedy to think you're really dressed up nice. You know, I saw, well, I won't shut, don't say that. Now, let's go back to this eighth chapter that we just read. In the seventh chapter, remember, we have a sort of a parenthesis, a pause. And you have a description of two great peoples, saved peoples. 144,000 male virgin Jews are sealed in their forehead. And then we have a great number, can't number it, dressed in white, and that's a saved Christian. Said they came out of great tribulation. Now, whether that's ones that are saved during this tribulation period of time, I think it's all of us are in the midst of tribulation. Have you ever thought about it? Some of you people live in a neighborhood where you don't really want your kids to be friends with the people next door because they're members of a gang. Some of you live in a place where you walk with fear and you're worried about somebody stealing something. When I was a kid, we lived in a house on the south side, Burbank area, on Walton Street. We were not able to lock the doors. Didn't have a key to the doors. And the doors were never locked. The only thing ever locked was a screen door that you just took a little latch, you know, and did something like that. We took a vacation when I was 12, and my daddy got keys for the whole door and locked them all while we were gone. I don't know whether that did any good or not, but, you know, we didn't worry so much about things like that. And, of course, we didn't have a whole lot. I had a bicycle that we paid $2.50 for, and somebody stole it. It was that good. Somebody stole my $2.50 bicycle. You know what I mean? So the world is living in tragedy right now. How many Christians are suffering around the world today, right now? It's because they're Christians. You may get sneered at or made fun of, or you might even lose a job because you won't do certain things. But we don't suffer much persecution here. We're living in a beautiful bubble of rights and privileges and wealth and healing. Most of the doctors in the world are right here. And a lot of the doctors out in the rest of the world want to come here. That's why you got Arabs and you got Indians and you got all sorts of people. They can make more money here than they can make there. And so people are drawn to America, what we have. So we are really blessed. We're not really persecuted that much. Well, we may have some snide remarks made about us, and we may not be in the first group of friends that some of these powerful people have. Now, another thing you need to think about as we get back to studying in the book of Revelation is where John is. Because he moves, and that makes a difference. You need to notice if it's on the earth, or if it's in heaven, or if it's in both of them. And you need to see whether John is speaking from earth or he's speaking from heaven. Because he's in this spirit being moved around by God when he's getting this revelation. All right, look at verse 1. When he'd opened the seventh seal. Now, we got all sorts of sevens in here. Remember that again. You'll look at them. You got sevens and you got half a seven. Three and a half. Three and a half is seven. You got three and a half and three and a half and three and a half, and you have seven of this and seven of that, and we're going to get more sevens. He'd opened the seventh seal. Now, that's the last seal on this book. Remember, he's got a book. And to them, a book was not something like we have with pages. It was a scroll rolled out. and you would roll that out. And so it's been rolled up, and then they put maybe like wax or whatever, and then the king's ring or whoever's had seven seals on this book. That was before God. And the Lamb was the only one that could open it. He's the only one worthy to open those seven seals. And if those seven seals are broken, we're seeing hell fire come on the earth. We're seeing great trouble. I mean, people, it's not going to be an easy time. I sure hope my premillennial view of the rapture is right. I don't want to go through the tribulation. I don't want to go through half the tribulation. I don't want to go down to the end of the tribulation. No. I just don't think the Lord would put his wife through that. Any man in here got a wife, you just want to beat her up before you get married? That's the way it would sound to me. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so I am a premillennialist. I believe that Christ will come before the millennium, not after it, not during. At any rate, okay, the seventh seal. Now that's the end. There were seven seals, and these things that we've studied so far coming down have been as these seals are open. Now then Christ here, when we get to chapter 8, he opens the seventh seal. That's the last one. The book is open now. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That proves Randy and Irma could not be there. I used to go around and I preached a lot of revival meetings, and I would say, tomorrow night I'm going to prove to you there are no women in heaven. And I'd read this verse. There was silence in heaven, the space of heaven. I used to get them, boy, they'd get mad at me, you know, teasing them a little bit too hard. Man, that's all it is teasing. Some of you men can't keep your mouth shut either. Telegraph, telephone, and telewoman. Greatest means of communication in the history of the world. You open the seventh seal, all of a sudden, silence. There's been all sorts of noise, all sorts of praise, all sorts of things. Man, when that seventh seal came out, 30 minutes. Silence. And I saw the seven angels, here's another seven, which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. You like trumpet playing? I do. I really do. I had a friend, he had a little bit of a hard bringing up in life. And he had a mother that was mentally deficient and a father that was a drunk. And so he decided if he's going to do any good, he had to do it himself. Well, he became a trumpet player in the band, and he was so good he went to University of Texas on a scholarship for playing a trumpet. And when we would make a touchdown, which wasn't very often at Burbank, but when we would, he would get up and toot the horn, toot, you know. Stands up in the middle of the band and boo, 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 he blows it out. Boy, that was wonderful to have a touchdown. His name was Bobby Boer, and he was a friend of mine most of our lives. And he became an engineer, went to University of Texas. There's a lot of things about trumpets in the Bible. It's a study. You could study it. I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, except to say the trumpet has a voice of authority. I believe the soldiers are probably still waking up to a trumpet. They're probably going to bed by a trumpet. Now, maybe a trumpet on a record player they're playing, you know. But at any rate, that's how you know whether you charge or whether you retreat or what you're doing, you know. The trumpet player plays charge, he plays retreat, and the soldiers know what they mean. Well, back in those days, they didn't have radios and telephones and all of that. The trumpet announced what the king wanted or what the general wanted. And so here we have seven angels and we have seven trumpets. Verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now you know what a censer is. Burns incense. Some of you that are Catholics, you remembered the people, maybe the priest walking down with a little censer and the smell of it going on, you know, whatever. I was a Protestant, raised a Protestant, so I never had much to do with that and didn't understand a whole lot of it, but here it is in the Bible. And the censer is a special smelling thing that burns. And he says right here, he had a golden censer, and it was given him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Have you ever thought, my prayers aren't powerful?
Yep.
Have you ever thought, I'm in such a bad mood, God probably not about to listen to me right now?
Yep.
Have you ever thought, my prayers aren't getting out of the ceiling? You just might be praying a prayer that an angel is pouring incense on and God smells a sweet smell to him. Don't ever give up praying. One of the biggest things you've got is prayer. Don't wait and make prayer your last resort. Make prayer your first resort.
Amen.
The first thing you do and you're in trouble, say, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, if I messed up, show me. God, deliver me out of this. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. There is, in the book of Revelation here, a golden censer with incense, much incense, to be offered with the prayers of the saints. Are you a saint? You're a child of God? We sang when we all get to heaven. I love heaven. I love the idea of heaven. Somebody asked me one time, said, man, you're in good health. You're 81 years old. Why in the world wouldn't you want to hang around for a long time? He was saying something about 20 more years. And I was thinking, I didn't really want 20 more years. And he said, well, why wouldn't you want 20 more years? I said, heaven. You ever heard of heaven? According to the Apostle Paul, to be absent with bodies, to be present with the Lord. According to the Apostle Paul, this is Philippians chapter 1, he said, it's far better up there. And he said, I would sure like to go on, but got to hang around with you turkeys. Keep you straight, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Get lost. Chasing rabbits. All right. And the smoke of the incense, verse 4, came with the prayers of the saints, assembled up before God, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. All right. Now what are we looking at? We're looking at something in heaven that's going to affect the earth. Isn't that right? You know, the Bible, if you read it enough, you know, the problem with most people, you read a book one time. Some people don't ever read the book the second time. I've got some books I have read I don't know how many times. And I've read the Bible over and over and over again. And you know what that does? You're going along and reading, and your mind may not even be on it, and all of a sudden something stands out. And you say, I never knew what that was. That answers the question I got from that other book over there. I've had this thing back in my mind. Well, here's the answer. Well, that's what we got right here. So if you read these things and read where it's from, who's talking, and where it's going to go to, you'll get a much better picture of what's happening here. This is the great, awful day, the judgment of the end of this world as we know it. And it's given to us right at the end of the New Testament. Only book of prophecy in the New Testament, by the way. And the angel took the censer, cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. This angel with this, all the prayers of all the saints. You ever worried about when some prayers that you thought ought to have been answered didn't get answered? Well, some of them may be waiting around here. They may be building up credits. God doesn't always give us everything we want, because everything we want is not good for us. Let me just talk to you as parents. Do you give your kids everything they want? Well, you're a very poor parent if you do. They need to learn what the word no means. The first word your child should learn is no. That doesn't mean that you can't hold them and love them and, you know, slobber all over them. We do. But they need to learn no. That's the safest thing for your kid to learn. And the minute I say no, they stop. No, and you just keep going, doesn't do any good. You got to make them follow you, obey you, or they're not safe. Teach them no. First thing here. Here we have an angel taking this censer, and there are lightning, voices, thunderings, earthquake. Do those things get your attention? Now, personally, I love lightning and thunder in a storm. And I've told I was halfway crazy because I used to, I don't much anymore, but I used to just go out and walk. Take me a walking stick, put me on a hat, raincoat, and I loved that lightning, just boom, boom, boom. Now, I never did get struck. I know you won't believe it. You think I was lightning struck a long time ago. I understand. But the truth of the matter is, I loved it. I loved it. One of my neighbors said, "Man, you're crazy. They're going to get, you're going to get." I played golf, by the way, in storm. So, such is life. I don't really have a fear of lightning because I haven't been struck. You've seen some of these movies where the guy said, "Ah, strike me down." Bang, lightning hits him, you know. Ingersoll used to go up and do his atheistic teaching and whatever, and he'd make a thing and he'd challenge God, "Strike me down with lightning," you know. He never did get struck down. I bet he's sorry about that now. He's a dead man. Okay. Angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, where is it talking about now? The earth. He just told you. He just told you right there in that verse. You don't have to worry. That's not going on in heaven. That's going on down here. Are you there? No. If you're saved, you're not there. You've already been raptured. You were raptured at chapter 4, verse 1. So right here, you're up there watching things going on down here. This is lost people. You got these Jews and you got this rest of the world that's lost. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Okay? He took that censer with all the prayers of the saints, filled it with fire from the altar, and cast it down to the earth. Now that's a picture from heaven. Well, look what it is here on earth. It says hail, fire, mingled with blood. Sounds a lot like the plagues that Moses had for Egypt. And then it says the third part of trees was burned up. All green grass was burned up. What happens when that happens? People don't eat. You get famine. You get the Dust Bowl, if you're going to look back in history. You get places where people are actually starving. All green grass is burned up. Now, then the second angel sounded. Now, where is it taking place? On the earth. On the earth. This is future. The second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. A great mountain burning with fire. That sounds like a volcano. You know what the Hawaiian Islands are? They're volcanoes. That's what brought the islands there. And the Big Island, a couple of them still have the volcano with the lava erupting on them there. It's a beautiful thing to see, but scary as all get out, you know. You think about that. Well, what happens sometimes? Sometimes, do you remember? Do you have any memory at all of Mount St. Helens? Mount St. Helens was a beautiful resort area and a beautiful, great big mountain. It blew up. I mean, it destroyed things. I don't know how far out there. Great, great big disaster. Well, it looks like there is a mountain in the sea here. I'm not saying it's Hawaii. By the way, there are some people that interpret Revelation as only being in the Middle East, all of this destruction in the Middle East. I don't look at it that way. But even if it was only the Middle East, How many people will be affected if a great volcano dropped into the ocean and a third of the things in there died? That's what he has right here. So he said, the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Well, that's sort of the same thing that happened to Egypt, wasn't it? They had blood and fire with lightning running across the ground. And the third part of the creatures are in the sea and had life died. That's a lot of dead fish. That might be a lot of dead people. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. You know, we have a group of Christians out here close to us that got shot up and killed here just recently. It's a great tragedy. It's still in the news. They're still doing different things in memory of so-and-so and whatever. You notice it. That's not even 100 people. If only a third of the ships of the sea in the Mediterranean today in one day's time were destroyed, killed, how big would that be? A lot bigger than anything you've ever seen. Bigger than anything you ever heard about except the flood. And the world doesn't believe the flood. Isn't that amazing? They don't believe the flood. You got proof of it all over the world. But they don't believe it. Well, he says right here, third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Now we can say that could be fish and mammals in the earth. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Man, that's a disaster that you just cannot imagine. When an airplane goes down, 185 people out there in the middle of the ocean, I don't think I've ever found that airplane yet. It's a tremendous disaster. And when you have all these people in a bomb up there in New York, that big building towers come down, it's a tremendous disaster, but nothing like this. Nothing like this. You understand what's going to happen? If you're not saved, you better get saved. If you haven't repented and called on the Lord, you better repent and call on the Lord. Because this is the future of the earth. And it's so clear, it's so plain, if you read it enough, it'll finally soak into you what he's saying. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. A star fall from heaven. It happens every night. You ever seen a falling star? When I was a kid, like I said, I was born on a farm that the Lampasas River ran right through the middle of it. And so from the time I was a small kid, I had a gun and shot and hunted and fished and swam and camped out we didn't have anything to camp out in. We didn't have a tent. We just had an old quilt, you know. Go down there and lay on the rocky bottom by the river. Oh, we were having a great time, you know, wrapped up in a quilt. One night, about midnight, all of a sudden, just hundreds. It's that meteor shower, I think, that comes every year or so. They were just falling all over, some for a little bit more. Just a showers of them, the most I've ever seen in my life. And I was, you know, 8, 10, 12 years old, whatever. Well, here he says, here's a great star from heaven. Now, I'm sure he's not talking about anything like the sun, because that would just destroy us all. He'd just eat us up. But he's talking about a very big star. And it fell on the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters. Now, we have one, I think it's in Arizona. And it is a huge crater. You ought to go see it. I've seen it several times. It's a huge crater. You can see this crater. You can drive up to it now, you know, and they've got museums. And they tell us that the major part of that asteroid or whatever it was is buried on an angle down under the earth a pretty good ways. And you have all these bits that chipped off of it, of rock that they can show you in the museum and whatever. But you got this huge thing. I have read that some of the scientists believe that here close to Mexico and around the Yucatan there, that all of that was caused by a giant meteorite that supposedly killed all the dinosaurs. When these things come down, most of the time they just burn out. So you see their streak while they're burning, and then they nothing. This one right here looks like it had made pretty bad. Third part of the creature's sea died. Ships were destroyed. Fell upon the fountains of waters. What happens in a hurricane or a tornado or some disaster that closes off people coming in? It doesn't take for 2 or 3 days for the grocery stores to be empty. They don't have water, they don't have bread, they don't have fresh stuff. What about down on the coast? Why? There were people down there that they didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have any electricity to keep them warm. Puerto Rico, they didn't have a lot of problems. They don't have all their power there back yet. These things are bad things. Now this falls into the fountains of waters. This big thing comes down and hits the ground and goes down in there, and it gets right where the water source is. That means what you're pumping out of your faucet you can't drink, or you're going to die. It's wormwood. By the way, wormwood is used in the Bible several times. You can just take a concordance and look up wormwood to find out it's bad news. It's poison. It's bitter. It'll cause death and other things like that. And it messed up the fountains of waters. Now you got a third of the trees and a third of the green grass, or all the green grass is gone, and now then you got your water messed up. What's happening? Bad news. Bad news is the future of the earth as it's going to go. When God starts to judge this earth because of its sin and because of its rebellion against Him, and I'm sure all the religion in the world that does not really sincerely serve God is an abomination to Him. The name of the star is called wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. Many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Okay. Now we got on top of the earth. Now we got under the earth and the fountains of your waters. And now he's going to mess with the sun and the moon and the stars. It looked like a bad day for earth, let me tell you. When these guys start tooting their trumpets, things are going to happen. It said here the third part of the sun was smitten. Now, if the sun didn't shine for a third of the day where you were, well, how would it affect your weather? Get colder, wouldn't it? And the third part of the moon. Well, I don't know about how the moon is affected. I guess it may be from smoke or whatever that could be clouding them up. And the third part of the stars. So at night, those stars that you're used to looking at, maybe if you're on the sea and navigating, you can't find the North Star, were darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Day and night's messed up. Some of you can't stand savings time. It messes you up. I've known people that messes them up for a month or two. And then they finally get, now it affects me sometimes when I didn't move my clocks back or forward, you know. And I've had people, we're walking out of the church Sunday morning, they're walking up. They didn't set their clocks, you know. So it always affects you. Look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. Why do God's people always have loud voices? I think I'm one of God's people because I got a loud voice. Brian says I can't even whisper. He said, well, that's what the teachers used to tell me too. My whispering, I always got caught whispering. I just gave up on whispering. There's no way I was going to make that. Loud voice. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now here's another thing. We're talking about the sevens. You notice the four and the two and one. It's seven. But as you look at them, you had four churches in chapter two, and then you had three. So it's four and three. And in fact, the dates and times that we're going to look at on some things, and I'm just about out of time, is 4, 2, and 1, or 4 and 3, and that's the way God divides it. Isn't it amazing? All the sevens and the multiples of sevens. You're talking about completeness, perfection. This is the end, fellas. This is the future. You know what gets a lot of people comfort? They think it's all past. I was taught in college that this was all done. This was a symbolic language to talk to the Christians during the purges of the Roman emperors, Nero and so on. And there's supposed to be 10 of those as they divide them. Let me tell you what, this isn't done. This has never happened on the face of the earth. It's going to happen. This is the future of the earth. This is where the earth dies. Gets whipped. Finally pays for her sins. That's tragic. Let me tell you what, it's scary. If you're not saved, please consider getting saved. Because your future does not look good here. Now, when's this going to take place? Well, Paul was looking for it in his day. I imagine John, when he wrote this, he's looking for it in his day. And there have been Christians who had the Bible and saw this, and they were looking for it in their day. And I've been looking for it ever since I got saved and learned about it. Hadn't happened yet. Maybe tonight. Tonight might be the last day. You don't know. You know what I do know? Today is the day of salvation. I know that today you can be saved if you call on Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I'm such a wicked person. Well, just read about an old sinner that hung on a cross by Jesus. I don't know where he got his gospel, whether he had heard Jesus actually preach in his life, or whether the people that were throwing it at his face as he was hanging there, they were hollering, he saved others, himself he cannot save. I don't know, maybe something like that, you know. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now he knows he's dying. He's not talking about another life right here. He's saying, you are a Lord. You are the God you claim to be. And I believe it. Remember me. Not a long prayer, you know. Long prayers aren't always that valuable. It's short, sweet, direct, and mandated effects. No other person will ever be in that situation. That one man was a unique thing. But it showed the promise and blessing and salvation of God. Well, God bless you. Read chapter 9 for next week.